Hey guys, good morning, good morning. My name is Michael, and thank you. And I actually get the privilege and the pleasure to lead a seventh grade Bentonville cell group. And I love those guys to pieces, but I am glad to be here because if you guys have brothers and sisters there, you know 12 and 13 year olds can kind of get to you every now and then. So I'm excited to be here with you guys, and I actually feel somewhat connected with this group. I know somewhere here there are senior Springdale guys. One of my best friends is Luke, one of your leaders. This is actually his shirt that I stole from him because I liked it. And then I know there are some 10th grade Bentonville girls. I feel connected to you all. Actually, I asked one of your cell group leaders to marry me this Friday. Cue the Beyonce. Everyone look at Elena, the prettiest girl in the room. Thank you. Yes, thank you, thank you. But I did it. But guys, I'm here today because a few months ago, Hunter House actually asked me to come and talk to you all about a miracle. And he said, yeah, come talk to them. Ooh, I need this cup. They said, come talk to them about the miracle of fish. And I was like, okay, I like fish. And so I spent months gathering what a miracle fish are. And this is what I found. And I was telling Hunter this week, like I was so excited to come talk to you guys about the miracle of fish. And I was like, Hunter, did you know there are 25,000 species of fish in the world, and there's probably 15,000 species that we haven't even discovered? Like, how much of a miracle is that? And Hunter was like, Michael, that's actually not what I want you. And I cut him off. I was like, Hunter, did you realize that sharks have have air in their bladder, and it keeps them afloat at all times, and they can never sleep nor stop swimming? Like, what a miracle that is. And Hunter was like, hey, Mike, actually, we're going to talk about it. And I cut him off. I was like, Hunter, did you realize that the biggest fish in the world is the great whale shark, and it spans from 50 feet long, and that's like the distance from here to Fayetteville? And Hunter's like, Mike, that's not accurate, and that's actually not what I want you to talk about. And I cut him off, and I was like, Hunter, did you know there's a fish called the spotted perch, the spotted climbing perch, and it actually absorbs oxygen from the air, and it's got really strong pectoral fins, and it can actually walk on land and go across the beach like this. So you and Alex and your family could be hanging out, and all of a sudden this fish just walks by you and is like, hey, Hunter. And Hunter would be like, oh, wow, a walking fish and a talking fish. But he was like, Mike, that's actually not what I want you to talk about. There's a different story in the Bible I want you to get to. And I was like, okay, I'll figure that out. So we're talking about not fish, but different story. But in light of fish and my love for them, we're actually going to play a game. Let's see Preston. Preston Hall, will you come here for a second? Give it up for Preston, guys. So it's been a big weekend for me. Like I said, Friday night, I proposed to Elena. Saturday night, I bought a fish. So this is a fish I bought. It cost me a total of, I got to catch him really quick. It cost me a total of 14 cents at Petco. So it was a good deal. But what we're going to do today, Preston, I'm going to need you to wear this. Okay. Do you think these people like you or don't like you? That's a good question that we need to answer right now.
I don't know.
Okay.
Jack likes me.
So you've got a few allies and maybe a few enemies. So Jack, listen for Jack's voice.
Okay.
Wear this.
Jack, yell real quick.
La. That was not bad. Okay. So Preston, one of these cups has a fish named Fred in it. I like this fish, okay? This fish means a lot to me. We've been together for almost 12 hours now.
Okay.
Okay? Two of these cups have water in them. What we're gonna do is you're gonna stand right here, and you're gonna hold your hand about this high. Okay? Cup one, cup two, cup three. Hold it right here. I'm gonna mix the cups around. Don't cheat.
I'm not,
and then when you move your hand around and hover, the crowd's going to yell, for the cup that they want you to drink. Got it? So, you gotta hope your friends don't let you down. Okay, so let's start with the first cup. Can I get some noise for the first cup? Okay, got it. Here. Third cup. Do you have a clear winner? Or do you want to hear it again? Okay. Cup one. Kind of like a nah. Cup two. And cup three. I heard some no's there.
Okay.
What cup do you think you want?
I'm hearing something up there for cup two. I'm thinking it has the goldfish in it.
Okay. Which cup do you want to pick?
I'm hearing the girls scream on cup three. I know they're humanitarians and very... I'm going... boys or girls? I'll go cup two.
All righty, pick cup two. All right. Drink away. Hey, just go for it. You got to go for it. Preston, I am impressed. It was a Swedish fish. You're not going to die.
Okay.
I was impressed. Good job. Fred lives. Okay. If anybody wants a goldfish, come see me after this. I'll give you a goldfish. Okay. Preston, give a hand for Preston. I'm shocked. Okay, so what I actually want to talk to you guys about today is a story in the Bible about when Jesus meets Peter for the first time. So we're going season one, episode one, Jesus and Peter. And we're going to talk about the miracle that happens, but also how does Peter respond to this now and then through the rest of his life? How does his relationship with Jesus change? And so I'm going to go ahead and read the whole passage, verse 1 through 11, and just be thinking about what has to be going through Peter's mind and why does he respond the way he responds. So verse 1, it says, "On one occasion, while the crowd was pressing into him to hear the word of God," this is talking about Jesus, "he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, and he saw two boats by the lake, but the fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets." So they haven't caught anything. They're bad fishermen. "Getting into one of the boats, which was Simon's, he asked him to put out a little bit from the land, and he sat down and taught the people from the boat. And when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, 'Put out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch.' And Simon answered, 'Master, we toiled all night and took nothing.'" So in other words, he said, "Listen here, preacher man. You're a preacher, you're a teacher, you're not a fisherman. I'm a professional, actually, and I know there's no fish in this lake. I've been here all night. If there were fish here, I would have caught one." This is Mike's interpretation, but I think that's what Peter was meaning to say. "But," he said, "at your word, I will let down the nets." And when they had done this, they enclosed a large number of fish, and their nets were breaking. So they're like, shoot. They signaled to their partners in the other boat to come to help them, and they came and filled the boat so that they began to sink. And when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." And all who were with him were astonished at the catch of the fish they had taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, and who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on you will be catching men." And when they had brought the boats to the land, they left everything and followed him. So guys, I want to take a second. One is to speak about what this miracle is and how cool it is that this just happened to Peter. So Peter spends his whole life as a fisherman. He probably had gone to school as a kid, was not smart enough to be a rabbi, and so they said, "Hey, go to your family trade." So he went back and he became a fisherman. And so this is something he's done all of his life, and all of a sudden one day this guy just shows up out of nowhere and says, "Hey, I'm going to get in your boat and teach for a while." And he's like, "Okay, that's fine." And then he actually says, "Hey, let's go fishing." And so he fishes, and all of a sudden, where he knows there are no fish, all of a sudden at this man's word of, "Hey, throw your net on the other side of the boat," they now have so many fish, their nets are breaking and their boats are sinking. And so in Peter's mind, it's like, oh my gosh, this guy, he commands the fish. Like, I can't tell my friend Fred here to jump up out of this bowl and dance or do a little pectoral fish walk thing because he's not a spotted perch, obviously. But Peter's like, oh my gosh, this is, I'm with the Lord. And it actually causes Peter to ask himself three questions. And these three questions, I'm going to spend the majority of my time talking about them today because they're three questions that if you answer them or choose not to answer them, it's going to shape the way you live the rest of your life. And so the three questions that Peter is forced to answer in this situation when he sees this miracle and realizes that he's with the Lord, he has to ask himself, who is this guy? Who is Jesus? And why is he in my boat? But what does he want from me is the second question. Like, why is he here? Is he just here for me to make a bunch of money on the fish, or does he want something else? And then how should I respond? All of a sudden, this guy shows up. He's doing these things. What do I need to do about it? And we're going to spend the morning again talking about how Jesus spends time with Jesus, sees these things, and these answers begin to change. But right off the bat, he gets most of them pretty wrong. But we'll start with the first one. So who is Jesus? And this is actually not an easy answer because I Googled it. So I was like, oh, well, I'll figure it out really quick. And I Googled it, and what I found was people were probably just as confused as Jesus was, or as Peter was, of who Jesus was. And so when I Googled it, I found that there's this grandma on the internet whose grandson gave her a picture of Ewan McGregor, who plays Jedi Master Obi-Wan Kenobi in Star Wars. And she was like, huh, that's a nice picture. I'm going to frame it and put it on my mantle because it's Jesus. The grandma was wrong. That is not Jesus. That is Obi-Wan Kenobi, which I'm glad we have a Death Star banjo. But anyway, he didn't even save the galaxy. But that's over there. So Peter actually gives it a shot, and he does pretty well at first. So Peter's answers for who is Jesus. He's like, obviously, this guy is a teacher. There are people, he's on a boat, he's preaching, people are listening. He's a teacher. But there's another level of it, because there were people were flocking him, like from all over, so much that he couldn't even stand on the shore anymore. He had to go off into a boat. And so Jesus had this thing called Shemika. And you guys are like, Mike, I don't know you. I know you can probably make up words with your seventh graders and they'll believe you, but that's not a real word. Guys, that is a real word. Shemika is Hebrew of how they described rabbis at this time. And so it almost separated the good and the great from like the supreme. So like the Joe Flacco or Andrew Luck from the Tom Brady. So, lost you guys there. But the good from the supreme. So a rabbi, almost 99% of rabbis did not have shmika, which meant authority. So when they graduated rabbi school at age 30, the only thing that they could teach was what was taught to them by other rabbis. If a rabbi had authority or shmika, they could then read the Bible, read the Old Testament, and they could interpret it and teach of how they saw fit. And this was Jesus. Even at this time, they knew this guy had shmika, and they wanted to listen to him because he was interpreting the Bible in ways they had never heard before. And so they're like, I have to listen to this guy. And so Peter probably knew these two things, and he probably knew, okay, this is a respectable guy. I need to listen to him. But then all of a sudden, his boats are sinking because the dude just said, catch a bunch of fish, and there's too many fish for him to count. And he's like, this is something different. Like, that's not in the Bible. Like, that's not shmika. This must be the Lord. And so Peter at this point is like, I'm in the presence of the Lord. He commands the fish. He commands the sea. He can interpret scripture, but he has authority over so much more than that. And so Peter gets the first answer of who is Jesus. He kind of hits it right on the nail of the head. And even throughout his life, he continues to say, hey, like, you're the Lord. You're the Son of God. So Peter always gets that. But where Jesus needs to spend some time with him, and I think where a lot of us need to spend time as well, is what does Jesus actually want from me? And how should I respond to any of this? And so with Peter, we look at his answers the first time. And so who is Jesus? He says, you're the Lord, you're Kairos, you're Son of God. What do you want from me? At this point, Peter's like, who knows? You're just in my boat and I'm sinking and I'm going to die. But then how do I respond? This is what I want to focus on here. So Peter looks at Jesus, looks at his authority, looks at his lordship, and then he kind of examines himself here. And he says, oh no. It's like, I'm a sinful man. And this word sinful, it's not like I'm a sinner, I've sinned in the past. It's like, I am chronologically stuck in my sin. Like, I cannot beat it on my own. I don't know what to do. And all of a sudden, this Lord is in front of me. So he tells Jesus, you know what? Depart from me, for I'm a sinful man. I can't be with you. And I want to focus on this, and then as we talk of how this changes. But thankfully for Peter, Jesus doesn't accept that answer. So he actually answers him right here and says, you know what, Peter, Simon, don't fear. From now on, you're going to be with me, and I'm going to make you a fisher of men. And so really this answers the first three questions, or the three questions right here. So Peter is stuck on this sin that he has, but if you knew who Jesus was, this man, this teacher, who had authority over the fish in the lake or the sea, Jesus is saying, hey, don't fear. This sin that you're worried about, I actually have authority over that as well, just like I have the fish. You're worried about failing. You're worried about all the things that you can't live up to, but I've got power over that to move past it, so don't fear that. And then come with me. Like, what I want you to do is I want you to follow me. I want you to learn from me. In those days, when you followed a rabbi, when a rabbi would come to say, hey, follow me, it meant you would literally walk behind him where he went and learn from him, wherever you go. And so Jesus is saying, like, hey, follow me. And he says, I'm going to make you a fisher of men. Like, I'm going to teach you all the things that I'm going to use for my kingdom and for my glory. And, like, this is what I want from you. And so right here, like, right off the bat, season one, episode one, Jesus answers Peter, but it's like, whew, so right over Peter's head. And really, for me and for a lot of us in this room, the first time we hear it, it's like, whew, we just miss it. So Jesus is patient, thankfully. And thankfully for Peter, he followed him. And so Peter actually spends the next 3 years with Jesus, and he spends this incredible time. It's time that he gets to go with Jesus and teach with him and preach with him and eat with him and serve with him. They end up doing miracles together. Peter walks on water. At one point, Jesus actually says, Peter, hey, all this stuff, go out on your own and with a partner, like, go do it, because I'm going to give you authority to do that. And so Peter is kind of like, okay, I'm starting to get it. Like, I still know the first answer. I still know your Lord. And what do you want from me? Peter's like, you know what? Like, I'm starting to get this down. Like, I'm doing these cool things. You probably want my skills and my charm and my good looks. And you're going to use me. Because, like, I used to just be this average Peter that everyone looked past. But now, it's showtime. Like, we're a team, you and I. And you can be Captain America, or in this case, probably like Captain Israel. And I'm going to be a spiritual Spider-Man, and I'm going to be shooting these gospel webs all over the place and being like, leprosy, bow, gospel, bow. And like, we're going to be a team, and we're going to build this empire, and it's going to be great. And even a step further, Peter is a kind of eccentric, so he kind of gets going. And he's like, you know what? Jesus actually called me the Rock. So I'm not a spiritual Spider-Man. I'm Dwayne Johnson, the actor, formerly known as the Rock. It's like, yeah, like I'm like the best of the best. And Jesus is probably sitting there like, oh, like, one, Peter, put your shirt on. Like, no one wants to see that. And two, like, you're missing it. Like, you know who I am, sure, but you still don't know what I want, because I'm not here to build this great kingdom, this great empire. I'm not here for you to be great. Like, you're missing it. And because you don't know what I want, there's no way that you can respond and how you're supposed to respond. And so Jesus kind of calms Peter down. He gets clothed. And he was like, hey, listen, so all these things that you think I want from you, this is what you need to hear. And he said, he taught them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. And it said, Peter went over and rebuked him. So again, Peter, he's kind of still spiritual webs. And he's like, listen, Jesus, like, No. Like, that's not how it's going to go. You and I, like, we're this team. We're the Avengers. Infinity War hasn't come out yet. People don't know that. Some of us might go away. But, like, we're going to have this kingdom, and I'm going to be, like, I know you're Lord, but you want me to be a part of it. You want me to do all these great things, right? And Jesus is like, no, Peter, put your shirt on. Listen, actually, I don't want that. What I'm asking you to do, he says in Mark 8, if you want to follow me, if you want to be a part of this, you have to deny yourself and take up your cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's sake will save it. And so again, this is like bombshell for Peter, because it's kind of like altering, like, who is Jesus? He's Lord. What does he want from me? Like, I was supposed to be great, but now he's telling me I have to lose my life and I'll find it, and all these weird things. So how do I respond? I don't know. But again, Peter's like, okay, like I can get this. So you're Jesus, I got it. You want me to lose myself, I got it. So what does that mean? So again, you didn't care when I was a sinner. You didn't care when I was great. But now what you want from me is just to follow you no matter what. So Peter, being the eccentric person he is, he's like, okay, like I'm going to follow you no matter what. I'm never going to fail you. I'm never going to leave you. Like I'm on your team. You like I need you, but I'm also here for you and with you. So I'm going to be like the best lose yourself person I can. And so as they continue to teach, as they continue to go along, it comes to a time where Jesus is actually getting ready to do the things that he said he was going to do. And so he pulls everyone in and it's like, hey, listen, like it's time for me to die, because there are things as the Lord that I have to do, which they still didn't understand at this point. But there are things as the Lord and as the Savior that I have to do, which one of those is die, and now is that time. And I need you guys with me, but actually you're all going to leave me. And Peter is like, kind of that rock thing, the weird look, is like, no, listen. Like, I know I'm not supposed to, I'm worried about my failures, I'm not supposed to worry about my good stuff, but like, I'm not going to leave you. Like, I can't leave you. And so again, he kind of goes over to Jesus and was like, hey, even if they will all fall away, I will not, no matter what. And Jesus says, you know what you are, you're going to three times. And Peter says, if I must die with you, I won't deny you. So Peter takes a stand and is like, hey, this is who I'm going to be for you, Jesus, that I'm not going to fail you. I'm not going to leave you. You've done these miracles. You called me. You've shown me you don't care about my good. You don't care about my bad. But no matter what, like, I'm not going to leave you. And for those of us who know this story, we actually know that when Jesus needed him most, Peter betrayed him. And it wasn't like sitting at the cafeteria school lunch and like Peter didn't go sit by him at lunch or didn't go to his birthday party. Like Jesus was dying and Peter looked at him and said, you know what, I don't know that guy. Or three times he said, you know what, don't associate me with him. I don't know him. Get away. And it said in one of the gospels that actually as he denied him the third time, Jesus looked up at him and made eye contact or looked at Peter. So Peter sees that in his failure, and then he knows, oh my gosh, I've failed again, and so have the lights. But if it makes it more dramatic, let's go with it. Okay. Could have been cool. But he's like, oh, I've failed. Like, I know I was a failure in the beginning with my sin. I know I was a failure trying to earn this thing. But now the only thing I was supposed to do was follow Jesus, and I failed again. So Peter breaks. Like, everything in him just breaks. He goes away sorrowful. And this great thing that he thought was going to happen, they actually killed his Lord and they killed his Jesus. And so for 3 days, he's just like, I'm done. But thankfully, what Peter didn't know is that the first catch was only season one of this story. And there's actually a second story about this, season two, episode one. So in John 21, so this takes place after Jesus has died, 3 days go by, all of a sudden there's these accounts that he's risen from the dead. And he's actually already appeared to the disciples twice at this point, but it's kind of weird. So like he like pop up in a room, say a couple things, and pop away. And they're like, what is going on? So Peter's like, you know what, I need to go fishing. Like I need to clear my mind. I tried to be this great person, but my family trade, like the person who I am, I'm a fisherman, so I'm going to go fishing. And the disciples are like, yeah, that's a good idea. It's a nice day, maybe. But it says in John 21, and I want you guys to pay attention to, if you remember season one, episode one, of how Peter responds to Jesus when he figures out who he is, and then when Jesus appears to him again and he realizes who Jesus is, how this is spanned and the brokenness of Peter and how he responds. So in verse 4 it says, just as day was breaking, Jesus stood on the shore, yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. And Jesus said to them, children, do you have any fish? And they didn't know it was him. And they answered him, no. He said to them, cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you'll find some. So this should be deja vu at this point, but the disciples were having kind of a bad time, so they're all in their emotions and feelings. So they go, okay, whatever, we'll throw it over here. And so they cast it, and they were not able to haul it in because of the quantity of fish. So at that point, like, light bulbs, like, oh, this has happened before. And the disciple whom Jesus loved therefore said to Peter, "It is the Lord." And when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he was stripped for work, and threw himself into the sea. In verse 8 it says, "The other disciples came in the boat, dragging their net full of fish, and they were not far from the land, but about 100 yards off." So that's funny. But I want you guys to realize, Peter, after all of this, who Jesus was to him, he became not only his Lord, but his Savior. Like, that's what the cross did, and that failure of trying to be either broken and sinful and saying, "Get away from me," or that failure of trying to be perfect and strong, that was paid for. And even the "I'm never going to fail you," all that was paid for on the cross. And when Peter realized that, he finally gets this revelation. The first time Peter saw Jesus, he said, "You know what, depart from me, for I'm sinful." And this time, it says he literally flops himself off of a boat, probably half naked, because he said he was stripped for work. I don't know what that means. But he was 100 yards off. So at 100 yards away, he just flops himself on a boat and swims to the feet of Jesus. And so how much of that is when we spend time and realize who Jesus is and what does he want from us, we understand how we respond. And what I love about it is when he gets to the shore, probably soaking wet, and Jesus is probably like, "Peter, wait for your shirt to come in on the boat and get dressed." Jesus actually pulls Peter aside and they're walking along the beach. And again, after Peter had denied Jesus 3 times, he then asks him 3 times the same question. And he says, "Do you love me?" And what's interesting about this, if you look at it in the language that they were speaking in Greek, the first 2 times Jesus asked Peter that question, he says, "Hey, Peter, do you love me? Do you agape me?" Which agape love, it's love unconditional. It's love that we receive from God, and it's love that we can actually never really live up to. But it's the love that Jesus had been trying to show, or that Peter had been trying to show Jesus this whole time, of like, "Man, I agape you. I'm your best disciple. I agape you." But Peter answers separately, and he goes, "You know what, Jesus, I phileo you. Like, I love you like a brother. I love you like I'm alongside you, but I phileo you." Jesus asks him again, hey, Peter, do you agape me? Do you love me unconditionally? Do you love me like God loves you?" And Peter says, "You know what, I phileo you. Like, I love you like a brother." And finally, Jesus asks Peter 3rd time and says, "Hey, Peter, do you phileo me?" And at this point, it's kind of like Jesus saying, "Hey, you know what? Like, you've tried to do this so long in your life. I'm asking you to love me like a brother. Do you phileo me?" And Peter's like, "Yeah, Jesus, I phileo you. I love you like a brother." And Jesus then describes what's going to happen in his life and says, "No matter what, just follow me." And that "follow me" isn't "be perfect" or "never fail me." It's "come alongside me." That "follow me" is what they used actually in war, like when brothers would fight alongside each other. Like, that's the phileo love that Jesus was asking Peter to give him. And so we finally get to the last 3 questions, and Peter finally gets it. So who is Jesus? He's still the Lord, but he's more than that. He's his Savior. He's someone who took all the failures. He didn't leave when Peter said, "You know what, I'm a sinner." He didn't leave when Peter didn't understand what Jesus wanted and was trying to earn it. He didn't leave when Peter was trying to never fail Jesus and he failed him miserably. So he's a Savior to Peter now. And what does he want from him? He wants him to lose himself. So this belief that he had to be perfect, this belief that he was too sinful, to lose yourself means just to turn your hands over and dump it all out and say, "You know what, no matter what happens, like, none of this is here, I need you." And then how do I respond? I said to come and follow me and come alongside me and not to fear. Not to fear when you don't live up to expectations. Not to fear when you say you're not going to fail and you do. Like, that's what Jesus wants from us. So I want to take maybe a minute or two, and just think about what that means for you guys. Because again, there are 3 questions that are going to change the rest of your life. Whether you answer them or not, both of those decisions will change the way you live. So for you guys, who is Jesus? What does he want from you, and how do you respond? It's something that took me 20 years to figure out. And mainly the "what does he want from me?" That it's not my perfection that I have to have for Jesus, for him to love me, but that even when I do fail, he shows up on the beach again day after day asking me to come eat breakfast with him with all the fish that was caught. So yeah, I would challenge you guys to do that. And just reflect on that as the band plays a few songs. And I'm going to pray, because I always want to talk while music is playing behind me. That's pretty cool. But I pray for you guys. I pray that Jesus would show us all what it is and who he is that he is. That he is the Lord, but he's also a Savior asking us to come beside him in love. I pray that we'd understand what he wants from us. I pray that he would know, that we would know what it looks like to follow him and respond to him. And that no matter what, we'd understand that through our successes and our failures, that Jesus would just always call us to be closer to him. And that'd be something that we would understand as the greatest call that we could ever receive and answer. So thank you, guys.